This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
What church is this Nancy Ross with?
Hold on. I've got the name. I do have the name. Hang on. And it is, hanging on.
Sorry, I didn't tell you.
You sure didn't. She was one of many there. St. Mark's Episcopal Cathedral.
Oh, my Lord. Some churches have just gone so radical, and I don't know a lot about St. Mark's, but I listen, if she's one of their faith leaders there, that soundbite that I just heard, it's pure insanity. So for days, we've been hearing that you can't separate families at the border. And so President Trump, less than an hour ago, signs an executive order that says, okay, we'll keep the families together, but we're still going to have zero tolerance for people trying to sneak in the country. So what that means is these kids, they're going to be sitting in those detention jails with, you know, their mom and dad or their fake mom and dad, whoever brought them to America. They're going to be sitting there for weeks and weeks and weeks because they don't have enough judges to adjudicate all of these claims of asylum. And
I think there are some efforts right now, I think even among Republicans, including Ted Cruz, trying to get more judges. Right.
Yeah. And so who knows if they're going to be able to do that. But they're still going to be sitting for weeks in these detention centers with whoever brought them there. But when I hear a local supposed faith leader, like this Reverend Nancy Ross, and the soundbite that Ursula just had in her newscast.
That's the bare minimum for us not to be a terrorist kind of organization.
For you to compare the policy that a judge ordered during the Clinton administration, a policy that was carried out under the Obama administration, where kids were in cages and under space blankets, and that now the president has said zero tolerance, and they're enforcing the law even more. For you to compare the United States of America saying that we're going to enforce our borders, that we are going to do everything we can to stop this plague of people sneaking into the country, and it is a plague. For you to compare the United States of America to a terrorist organization, how soulless do you have to be, Reverend? Do you remember what it looked like when those airplanes flew into the World Trade Center towers? Have you ever seen the videos of journalists like Daniel Pearl screaming, using their final breaths for screams of terror as they were having their heads sawn off by those terror attackers? How in God's name, Reverend, can you compare the United States of America putting kids in these centers? And it's the mules, the traffickers, who were putting the kids in those centers. All the United States was doing was defending and protecting our borders. And for you to compare the United States of America to a terrorist organization shows that you have absolutely zero clue about history, about what terrorists really do, and you have zero clue about what it means to defend a nation. Because defending a nation is about your borders, your language, your culture. And once those are lost, your nation ceases to be. And I found the
issue is not defending a border. And there is a much longer soundbite, one that's actually 50 seconds if you want to hear in its entirety.
I would love to hear more context from her.
But just to be clear, she's not saying that, she's focusing on the fact that kids were being caged, not...
Yeah, but they weren't being caged by us. They were being caged by their mules, their traffickers. 80% of those kids were not with biological parents, and it was people who were trying to break into this country. All we were doing was we were defending the judge's 1997 order during the Clinton years.
Yeah, if you were to take away the politics of it, I think people on all sides can say to treat children that way and to have them ripped away from their parents is just not a good idea. Even President Trump agrees. His wife agrees. What the outrage is.
Did you hear the sound bites I had the last couple of days from the Washington Post?
Yes.
From a 2016 Washington Post story where a lawyer talked about how these kids weren't being ripped away from their parents. They were being the get-out-of-jail-free card, and then they were turned over to traffickers who would put them in slave labor camps where they would de-beat chickens.
Absolutely.
Some of the little girls that were being smuggled into this country were being put into child sex trafficking.
But I think that is the excuse that is used to say, well, this is why it has to happen. And I think that's, in some cases, yes. But I think there are cases where you look and say, this is just not right. But I mean, let me just let you.
I'd like to hear the full.
Yeah, so here's the full thing. Here's Reverend Nancy Ross.
That is a drop in the bucket. All that does is stop something heinous that has recently been begun. But heinous things were already happening. And people who are not being respected to find out if their asylum is going to be here, people who are detained without speaking to anyone about their rights, people who don't know where their family members have been taken for days and days on end. This has been going on long before we got the hot button issue this past week about the families being separated. So, no, that doesn't make this okay. It definitely needs to happen, but that's the bare minimum of what needs to happen. That's the bare minimum for us not to be a terrorist kind of organization. That's the bare minimum that needs to happen for us to start looking even further. We need to do much, much more than that.
And I don't think she's just referring to the Trump administration.
That sounds staggeringly stupid to me.
But I think that she talked about this going on forever. I mean, you know, for a long time, not just right now.
Right. But all she did was repeat all the talking points. And there has been so much ignorance being spewed about this the last few days. About, you know, the claims of asylum. First of all, these traffickers, they have a network where they coach people very carefully on what to say in their claims of asylum. And they were coaching the children. You heard the audio a couple nights ago where the kids, they got audio of the kids yelling for mommy and daddy.
Yes.
That's not what these were Guatemalan kids. You don't say mommy and daddy in whatever language. Is that Spanish that they speak in Guatemala? I do not know. But it's not mommy and daddy. It is a different word. But they were coached to say mommy and daddy because they wanted that, you know, fantastic, spectacular soundbite that could be spun all around the, you know, the nonstop media that was only presenting one side of the story. But again, 80% of the kids were not with biological parents. And separating them from some mule is, I don't know that that's doing
well,
the kids
a great disservice. If that's the case, then why did President Trump make the change?
Because he was sick of the pressure. He's sick of the optics. And and the thing is, a presidential declaration, a presidential order that's made in the heat of, and there has been so much heat about this, you know, and I mentioned right before the top of the hour, Peter Fonda suggesting that Barron Trump be put in a cage
ridiculous.
With a pedophile.
I mean, that's horrible.
And child raped and all of that.
That's awful.
But when you have that kind and you have these networks that were propagating nothing but propaganda and for a couple of days. And I don't think anybody was getting much truth on this about how these kids were being used and trafficked and you know, strip all of that away. And there are lots of points on which we could agree and disagree. But for somebody who's supposedly a faith leader to make this analogous to us being a terrorist organization is incredibly stupid. And I don't know how somebody can make a comment like that. Okay, but look, I'm glad they got the executive order. I think all that's going to happen is these kids are going to sit in the adult detention facility with their mules. You know, in 20% of the cases, they might be with a mom or a dad. In 80%, if those stats hold up, they're going to be sitting with some trafficker mule in an adult detention center now. That's what this order is going to do. They're not going to turn them loose. He said, we're not going back to business as usual and turning people free. So let's move on. Did you hear last night what happened to the director of Homeland Security when she went out to the restaurant?
Yes.
Kirstjen Nielsen, she was trying to eat dinner last night. And a bunch of protesters found out where she was, and they decided that they wanted to make her dinner a living hell because they don't like the role that she played in all of this. And so here's what happened to her at dinner.
Tens of thousands of people have come here seeking asylum in the United States. We call on you to end family separation.
And
abolish us.
Abolish us.
Abolish
shame! 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 Shame!
screw up your dinner. And they're screaming abolish ICE. Yeah, like we shouldn't have any immigrations and customs enforcement at all. And that's what this whole movement wants. They want no border. They want a completely open border where anybody can come as they please. And I'm telling you, if you saw the train stations that I saw, particularly in Italy, where migrants have been flooding across the border and you have nothing but a wall of humanity for blocks around these train stations and it is just a trash pile, and that's what they want. Abolish ICE so we have no borders.
Seeking asylum in the United States, we call on you to end family separation
and
abolish ICE.
Abolish ICE! Abolish ICE!
Yeah, it's always about abolish ICE. It was ironic that she was eating at a Mexican restaurant.
What was she thinking?
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I mean, who made that reservation for her in the midst of all of this?
So much for that quiet dinner with her husband.
Now, why didn't she just do Uber Eats? And to sit in a Mexican restaurant in the midst of all of this might have been...
A little tone deaf.
Might have been just a little ill-advised.
Maybe she was showing support.
Oh, man. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, let's get it closer to home here. So Mike O'Brien had another town hall last night. He was talking to activist David Preston, and he said, look, the activist said, city council has screwed up the city almost beyond recognition. And here's that encounter with Mike O'Brien and activist David Preston.
If there's something they did to contribute to the deterioration of public safety, they need to own up to that and start making some changes.
And yeah, the city council has done everything to increase the, I mean, it's kind of like what we're talking about at the border. They have encouraged a flood of, in this case, addicts and homeless people from around the country to come here to Seattle. A resident named Jennifer Boursin, she was at this meeting last night, and she said she cannot believe how bad crime has gotten in her neighborhood in North Seattle.
In love with the city of Seattle, and just the past couple of years with all the policies of the current city council, it's just unbelievable to me that it's gotten to this level.
And we know what level it's at. A homeless guy tried to rape a woman in the Golden Gardens bathroom. A homeless guy did rape a woman in a Ballard car dealership bathroom. You had a homeless guy who tried to grab the 13-year-old girl down in Auburn. That guy had been twice deported, by the way. And our porous borders didn't serve that 13-year-old girl very well. Homeless guy with a rope tried to choke out the father in a family that wanted to go visit the Space Needle. And then most recently, on Father's Day, dad and daughter trying to go to the Cinerama Theater, and a homeless guy brutally assaulted them. It has gotten incredibly dangerous around this city. Here's Mike O'Brien.
We need to make sure that our police department is prioritizing any acts of violence and making sure that we shut that down.
But the police can't keep up with everything that's going on. And Mike O'Brien says they can't keep up with the homelessness.
We haven't been able to increase the police force by 50%. We haven't been able to add 50% more affordable housing. We haven't been able to add 50% more shelters or service workers. You know, we've added a little bit each year, but it cannot keep up with the crisis.
Okay, but why is that? Why can Seattle not keep up? It's because of unbelievable waste by the city council and by the mayors, and it especially goes back to the accused child rapist mayor, who added 1,600 city employees. 1,600. When you factor in benefits, they're making $100,000 a year. That's $160 million a year. And what have we gotten for all those extra city employees? We've talked about Seattle's budget is $5.6 million. Boston, almost identical size, almost half our budget at $3.1 billion. Boston has 2,200 cops on the street. Seattle has 1,400 cops on the street. when a friend of mine, he sent me a picture. And this is a perfect example. I wish I'd thought of this earlier because I wouldn't pull it up on my phone here. But he's a very smart guy. And he sent me a photo from downtown Seattle yesterday morning. They were making a handicap sidewalk ramp on 5th and Columbia. He took the picture yesterday morning. They had 12 guys working in this photo just so they could do a handicap sidewalk ramp. 12 city employees. That's grossly inefficient. There's no reason why three guys can't do that job. But when you have as many city employees as Seattle has, you have that much bloat and waste, you got to make up phony jobs for them. So that's where I say, and that was a couple weeks ago when I said I could fix this if I was mayor with unlimited power, I would cut the staffing for the city of Seattle by about 30%. I would whack it off. That alone would give me an extra $500 million a year to work with. And I would use that to hire more cops. I would tell the cops, enforce the vagrancy laws, enforce the drug laws. I'd split the money with the jails and say, hey, if people are shooting up heroin, we're going to start enforcing the heroin laws instead of ignoring them. And yeah, Mike O'Brien's famous line, do you think the war on drugs actually worked? Well, what you're doing now ain't working, Mike. So yes, I would get rid of the bloated city government. I would take that money without having to raise a penny in new taxes. I certainly wouldn't put this $600 million education levy on the ballot this fall. And you'd get the city cleaned up like that. Problem is, they still want to attract all these new voters. They're hoping that all these homeless people, they're like the Rajneeshis. You know, you bus in enough homeless people, they'll vote for you, and you can get a permanent majority, right? Well, you already got one. You've had one-party rule forever in Seattle, and that one party has taken things down the toilet. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Okay, in fact, I got to carry this over into a second 15, though. We got a bunch of other stories that we got to get to, that we got to chat about, all straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Okay, I might need your help on this story, Ursula.
Okay.
Because, as you know, I don't know anything about the Kardashians.
I'm hardly an expert, but I know more than you.
Yes.
For sure.
So, Kim Kardashian, she went to the Oval Office.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago and got a pardon for a grandma who had gotten an exceedingly long sentence for drugs.
Yes.
And Trump.
A nonviolent crime.
Yes. And Trump gave that grandma a pardon.
Yes.
And so Kim Kardashian, I saw her on with, who was it? It's one of those CNN.
Van Jones. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Van Jones. And he, of course, hates Trump. And so he was trying to make the point that Trump was just using Kim Kardashian. But, of course, you remember a few weeks ago, Kanye started tweeting about how much he loves Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that came up here.
You've endorsed him in a way. You've kind of given him legitimacy. You might be in a campaign video. He used you.
I think Kanye's already given him legitimacy. So I don't, you know, in that way. So I was working on this before. So I don't like for being, I don't think I would be used,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at the end of the day, he heard me out. We got the job done. So I don't think, like, what could he really use me for?
And when you say Kanye gave him legitimacy, what do you mean by that?
I mean, Kanye, you know, co-signed and said he loves his personality and loves him. So I just, if he already got that
box
he was trying
checked.
To use me, mm-hmm. like how? Because he already kind of got, you know, a big thing, you know, from Kanye, I think.
She's just not the most articulate person in the world.
No, but I got to give her credit for what she did. As it turned out, I mean, this is something that she had been working on with a group that tries to free people who they think, you know, have been, I mean, in this case, this woman wasn't necessarily wrongly accused, but maybe just the sentence was too harsh.
It seemed excessive.
Yeah, it was an excessive sentence. And she's been working on this kind of behind the scenes. I mean, so in an, you know, maybe Kim Kardashian was using her celebrity to, well, I mean, so it just, that was just a dumb question
also,
on Van Jones' part.
Yeah, it just proved, because sentencing reform has been for a long time a key thing that they've wanted to do on the left. And it's like, so here Trump is actually doing something that you would think even Van Jones would like.
And in Van, and, yeah, the
and
thing
he
is,
turns it into kind of an attack on Kim Kardashian.
Well, and he's definitely pandering to a particular audience that watches CNN and that really likes Van Jones. Because I heard in an earlier interview with Van, who was promoting this interview with Kim Kardashian, he was saying that this is something, because Van Jones is an attorney, and he said this is something near and dear to his heart.
He's also a commie.
Okay, I'm not going to speak to that.
He is.
But whatever.
Or he was.
Okay, I don't even know what you're referring
just
to.
Just Google Van Jones communist.
Okay, but I'm surprised that he reacted that way, and that seems like a turnabout from what he had said promoting the interview, because he was, you know, thrilled that this woman got out.
Let's see, when you type in Van Jones communist, you get 5,160,000 results on Google. That's a lot of results.
I have to just say, I'm among those who I've just stopped watching CNN. I can't do it. I force myself. And I can just do it for a little bit. CNN, all of the cable channels.
Just for a point of reference,
yeah.
Van Jones communist, you get 5.1 million. When you type in Dory Monson communist, only 20,800.
Are you serious?
Oh, but they're all missing the word communist.
The other thing,
they scratched the word communist in all my hits. So
the other thing I wanted to look at is, yeah, how many Twitter followers does Kim Kardashian have compared to President Trump? I mean, I just haven't typed that in fast enough, but like, who's using whom?
Well, and then here this came up too, because of course her dad was one of OJ's lawyers, Robert
right.
Kardashian. And so the question came up, are you going to maybe follow in his footsteps? And I found out there's only one thing holding Kim Kardashian back from being an attorney.
One and done. You got a victory, walk away. You're yeah. saying, I got a victory, I want more.
I told Sean, the attorney, I was like, can we start a firm? Like, I've looked, I was like, let's do this and mm-hmm. like just get the best people together. If I could just be the vessel, I could bring
your
awareness.
Your dad was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Is this in your blood?
I really think that it is. Anyone that knows me, like my whole other team of attorneys, every time I go in there, I'm like, God, if there wasn't the long college process, I would be an attorney.
Oh, for that pesky
would actually,
schooling.
Darn it, would require work.
I'm pretty sure that's everyone's excuse for not being a lawyer.
Yeah, that's why I'm not an attorney.
Why I'm not an astronaut.
It wasn't for the long college process.
And though, as much as everyone wants to just, you know, kind of cast her away as,
I know, I mean, she seems just nice as can be.
No, well, the thing is, she didn't have to do what she did. You know, she's got oodles and
sure.
oodles of money. You know,
can I ask one
for
other
her.
Question?
Hey, wait, really quick, I want to answer Ursula's question. Kim has 60.2 million followers, uh-huh. Uh-huh. and Trump has 52.9.
Okay, there you go.
Oh,
okay, there you go.
Though. It's close. I'm not even going to say what I was about to say.
It's probably a good idea.
It's a really
if you
good
just self-edited.
It's a rare bit of self-censorship by me. Okay, and then I've got one other soundbite I've got to play for you. This was just one of the most ridiculous things. Let me take a real quick time out, and we'll keep zipping through all the other news. Ooh, we have Shama Sawant in the news this afternoon, too. Holy moly. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So I saw a clip last night from the MTV Movie Awards. We played a clip yesterday. Chris Pratt, our Seahawk-loving buddy. Chris Pratt won the Generational Award, and it was fantastic. He was talking about prayer and that God has a plan for you. And it was really something. He talked about you're not perfect, but somebody's given their blood to take care of you. Fantastic. So then also, but I was thinking, the MTV Awards, when I was in my 20s, MTV was like this anarchic, it was, you know, just cutting edge. It was rock stars and bikini girls. It has gotten so politically correct now. Have either of you ever seen that show Riverdale?
I haven't seen that, no.
It's the Archie, I assume it's the Archie comic setting. And I loved Archie. When I the comic books when I was a kid, but I've never seen the TV show. But apparently there are three girls who star in the show. And so they get up on stage and they start talking about how marvelously, wonderfully, politically correct the MTV Awards are. And here's what they said. This is just hilarious because it's so lacking in any self-awareness.
There's a reason this show is special. All other award shows divide categories into male and female, but not here.
That's right. The MTV Movie and TV Awards are completely genderless, which means...
They're completely genderless. And then, you know, a few people in the audience, woo! Ow! Completely genderless, right?
Right. The MTV Movie and TV Awards are completely genderless, which means... Which means we're celebrating equality over division and recognizing there is no separation when it comes to talent. And I'm thrilled to say four of the five nominees for this next award are women.
What? What? I thought we were completely genderless. Four of the five are humans. Four of the five are people. And the fifth is also a human people. But how can you prompt how you're completely genderless? And then since four of the... it's ridiculous. So anyway, they're completely genderless at the MTV Awards. That's a wonderful thing. I heard Howard Stern talking about it today. Because back in the day, Howard Stern was coming on during the MTV Awards as Fart Man and flying in from a cable in the ceiling. And now, because everything was just about rock and roll and all, you know, just being silly. And now it's all this PC nonsense.
I'm not sure that the despise of Fart Man is the worst thing.
You mean demise?
Despise?
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yes. Demise.
You're never going to be an astronaut using language like that.
I tell you.
Okay. Kashama Sawant is back in the news. Remember a few weeks ago, she got bawled out by Sally Dimebag Shaw, the heroin-loving city councilwoman who denies that she wants to explore buying heroin for addicts. But anyway, Bagshaw, she called out Sawant a few weeks ago.
On multiple occasions, I've seen your staff using our copiers to print your signs. Most recently, the tax Amazon by the Affordable Housing Alliance. I just don't think it is right for us to be using city resources or the copy machines to promote something that not all of us agree to.
Ooh, so that was the big call out. Because it's true. Sawant, everything she does is for that socialist alternative group that her husband works for. She makes donations to that group and, oh, they pay her husband about the same amount that she donates. But anyway, here was Sawant's response to using the city copier on the taxpayer dime for private political pursuits.
And as far as the council resources, I think, I mean, you can choose not to use your office for really fighting for the interests of working people and to build movements. I strongly believe that council resources should absolutely be used to build social movements and not for furthering the interests of the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, so that was her response. And now we find out this afternoon, the Seattle Ethics and Elections Commission says Kashama Sawant did not commit a violation when she used a city copier to make posters for a rally. They made thousands of these posters, and a lot of people did have a problem on the city council. It doesn't represent anything but the wackiest of whack jobs in the city. But the executive director of the commission said that she was acting within the scope of her authority when she determined that the rally was a tool she could use to advance her position in support of the employee head tax, which is money just thrown away because, of course, the council flipped on that. And the reason the council flipped is because of the news we told you about yesterday. They now have approved a $620 million property tax increase for the November ballot. And I told you when they flipped on the head tax, the only reason they were flipping is because they knew a bunch of anti-tax zealots were going to rightfully zealous about this. And they knew that they would say no to the head tax. And, okay, here's another tax for education. No to that, too. They knew that that would kill it. So they abandoned the head tax in the hopes that they can preserve the $620 million education levy. And as I told you yesterday, that's not even going to cover the free college, the so-called free college that Jenny Durkin wants to give to every high school kid in the city, every private or public high school kid. Private high school kids don't qualify. If you're a public high school kid and your parents make $1 million a year, you can get free community college. If you're a private high school kid and your parents make $40,000 a year, you don't qualify. That's a great city, isn't it? All right, Big Lead 2 is next.